This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Jay Cutler will join us here in a minute. And great football coming up this weekend. My favorite playoff weekend of football.
Can I make a quick prediction for you? I can't wait for it. I don't know that it is going to be as thrilling as Wild Card Weekend. I don't know that you can repeat what we saw last weekend.
No, it's tough. I mean, it was a great performance.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible.
All right, Jay Cutler, always great with his time. We had him in studio when Uncommon James opened here in Chicago. And Waddle, you went to the party.
Yeah, I did. It was fantastic. Season 3 of Very Cavallari, or as Jay likes to call it, Barely Cavallari, starts tonight.
Let's bring him in. Jay Cutler joins Waddle and Sylvie. Hey, Jay.
Just to clarify, I've never called it that. That was your guys' name for it. While it is clever, I'm not
okay,
sure.
We'll take it. We'll take credit for that. So yeah. Are you geared up for Season 3's premiere tonight?
No, I won't watch it.
You won't watch it, or you've already seen it?
She gets some beforehand because she's an EP on it. So she kind of watches them before and, you know, adds or takes out, which she doesn't like. So, I mean, if something's, you know, I need to see it, she'll show me. If not, you know, just kind of move along.
So that means, like,
but she's out of town, too. She's in New York. Doing publicity for it, so you know, she wanted to be here to turn it on, and I don't know if we'd watch it anyway, to be honest with you.
Really? So, like, she goes to the Golden Globes. Did you go with her to L.A., or did you watch the kids? And same thing with this. She goes to New York, and you stay home with the kids?
I try to tag along, but I don't get invited.
No, really?
No, she went to the Golden, she left Friday, went to the Golden Globes, and then was, you know, flew from there straight to New York. So, I mean, and she's just busy, busy, busy. So, like, it would be me just hanging out by myself, which, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with, but someone's got to watch the kids.
Yeah. Would that interest you, with like, walking the red carpet at one of these Hollywood things?
No, not at all.
That's what I love about you.
What would the kids, what are the kids? I don't know how old your kids were when you were still playing. Were the kids more excited to watch dad play football on Sunday or mom be a television star?
Back then it was football. And now even we watched the E thing that she did before the Globes, and you know, football is on, like, it's, you know, prime time football time at that point. And our Camden's like literally like, what are we doing? Like, turn it back. I'm like, mom, you know, it's a commercial. Like, we can watch mom. And then we'll flip it back, and you know, if we miss a play, he's like, see, I told you to turn it back. But we record it and then go back and watch. And then say our little one, she'll come up and she'll look at the screen like, Mama, Mommy, there she is. So it's cool for her to see. Yeah. But they're 7, 7, 5, and 4.
Wow.
So,
7, 5, and 4. Wow. Does it feel like it's gone fast, or does it feel like, no, it feels like 7 years for sure?
It goes by fast. I tell you what, like, me and Kristen were talking about it like a week ago. You know, each day, or like this last stretch where I've had him by myself, like, feels like an eternity. But then you look back and it's like the year's gone. You know, like, the years go by fast and the days just kind of creep by.
Kristen said in like one of the press junkets or in the trailer that the marriage right now, it always ebbs and flows, but that you guys are on a high right now, that the marriage could not be better. Do you feel that way too?
Yeah, I think she said that because she's gone a lot. No, it's one of the, like anything else, you know, you go through tough patches and, you know, you figure some things out and, you know, you get better. And, you know, I'm sure we'll hit a tough road here again at some point, but things are going well.
What are you better at today? Like, being a husband, like, what do you do now that you probably, if you looked at yourself 10 years ago, you definitely did not do?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think now, well, I think it's a lot to do kind of where I am in my life and what I'm doing. But, you know, just being more interested and supportive in what Kristen's doing. You know, like before, you know, she was going to be gone for 7 straight days. And we're like, hell no. Like, what, that's not going to work. Like, I can't pull this off. But I mean, now, like, you know, her being gone and stuff, it's kind of cool. You know, I get to do my own thing in the day and, you know, hang out with the kids and kind of have a different bond with them when she's gone. And then, you know, whenever she's back, we're, you know, we're right back in the mix. So, just kind of being more supportive and, you know, open to a lot more things of me being around here more.
She's killing it too, isn't she? I mean, it must be cool to have a spouse that is actually, you know, that is really living her dream and is being very successful with what she's chosen to do.
But she's on fire. I mean, she's kind of everything she touches right now. I mean, knock on wood, it goes really well for her. I mean, she's super smart. Like, she only kind of picks what, you know, she knows she can do well and what she thinks is going to do well. She's got great natural instincts for those type of things. You know, and she works. She works her tail off. Like, right. The chick is nonstop. You know, and once she decides I come in, you know, everyone better buckle up because, like, she's gonna go and get it. So it's been cool to see, especially the last couple of years, you know, how big, you know, her company's got and how much she's doing, how much she has on her plate. And, you know, I think there's definitely times where she gets overwhelmed with everything, especially with the kids and me and stuff, but she does an unbelievable job of balancing it all.
Which of the kids got your personality and which of the kids got her personality?
Sailor's her. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Our little one is, I mean, that's, even Kristen's mom would come and be like, that's exactly how Kristen was. You know, I think Jackson's a little bit of a mix. Camden, you know, I think he's a little bit more probably like me. His interests are definitely driven in the same direction that mine are. But they're all, the boys are kind of a mixed balance. They can get a little, you know, they got a little Italian in them from Kristen, so they can get a little ramped up sometimes. And then, you know, other times they can kind of chill out.
And Cam's got a deer cam, right? Of his, you know.
Cam?
Yeah. Does he have his own deer cam?
No, but he's good luck. Like, I've killed, like, an elk with him. I've killed a couple deer with him. Like, every time we go out, we're getting into the mix. So he's a good one to tag along. And he's super chill. Like, you can take him and, you know, he's low maintenance. Doesn't ask for a lot, you know. we'll just kind of sit there and hang with you.
Can you tell if, the genes have gone to him as far as the cannon for an arm? Does he whip around the Nerf ball?
Cam can throw. Jackson's left-handed. He can throw. It's a little bit more of a whip, that lefty whip, which it's just different. It's different. Anyway, it's left-handed. It's just a whole different ball game. And then Sailor, a little one, she can throw too. But Kristen's like really athletic. It's just really sneaky because she has no real interest in sports. I mean, she works out and does all that kind of stuff. But, like, if we're out playing basketball, she can play basketball. If we're throwing the ball around, she can throw the football around. She can hit a baseball. So, I mean, it's kind of cool to see that. And so, I mean, kids are going to get that as well.
Is she competitive? Like, if you guys have game night, I don't know if you have game night, or are there things that she'll compete with you at?
She's definitely competitive. We've tried a couple different games. We're still kind of in that phase where if you do, like, you know, you try to play Monopoly, like, we can't even get it going because they're going to fight, like, which piece they're going to be. And then the money situation, like, one of them's just going to grab all the money out of the bank and be like, this is mine. It's like, no, it's not how the game goes. Like, there's rules to this. This isn't just a free-for-all.
Yeah.
But, like, shoots and ladders, checkers, like, we're kind of in that game world. Candyland from time to time.
It sounds like you're really happy.
Yeah.
I mean, things are going well. You know, Kristen gets back tomorrow, and then I'm actually going to the national championship game. So we're tagging out. I'm leaving Saturday, so it'll be fun.
So how did that happen? How did you decide to go see the national championship game?
It didn't. I did that thing with Dos Equis.
Dos Equis, yeah.
So they're one of the partners up there. So I'm going to go do a few things up there with them and then go to the game.
Speaking of left-handed pitchers or throwing hard with the left hand, Kyle Long, I believe, was formerly a left-handed pitcher and has recently retired. Have you had a chance to touch base with Kyle?
I've texted with him a few times. You know, and just I think over the last couple of years, I didn't know when it was going to happen. I didn't know if it would be this year or 5 years from now, but you know, you could tell that the injuries and stuff were weighing him down, and you know, it's just hard to And I think you look at the Andrew Luck situation of just, you know, IR, and just battling back from stuff and just wore him down, I guess.
Did he give you a heads up beforehand? Did he pick your brain about retirement, or did you find out like the rest of us when he was on social media?
He texted me a few days before, and then when I saw, I think at the thing in February when I saw him, or whenever that was, a couple months ago, you know, we talked briefly about it. You know, but Kyle was always, he's always kind of been on his own path and beat to his own drum, so wasn't for sure which direction he would go with everything, but ultimately, you know, he decided to be done.
Did you also spend any time in front of the television watching Josh fill in for Carson Wentz last week?
I did. I felt so bad for him. I texted him afterwards. I'm pretty sure he probably tore his hamstring or something. You saw him kind of grab his hamstring there. Yeah. And then afterwards, he was just hobbling. And, you know, he's 40. What is he, 40, 41?
He's 40. 40.
I mean, it's just, I think he said in his press conference, you know, your body starts talking to you a lot. And, you know, him to do that with his hamstring and then, you know, try to control the offense. And they got that delayed game down there. And it's like just there's a million things flying and, you know, and you're 40. So it was a tough spot for him, but I was proud of him. I was happy to see him get in that game.
I was going to ask you about that because to go until you're 40 and not play in a playoff game, I mean, that's an unbelievable story.
Really, and as many teams as he's been on, you'd think that at least one of them would pop and something be get in somehow. But, you know, maybe I think this is probably the end, but who knows.
Did you have the urge at all this year at any time to want to get back out there?
No.
Like kind of gone?
I think I could probably still do it, but, you know, it's just one of those things, like to get – It's such a commitment, and I mean, Josh is kind of, you know, I feel like he's kind of mastered the, you know, late career quarterback thing. But you know, he's been doing it for so long, and for me to, you know, to want to jump back in there and you know, play at the level you want to play, it'd be really hard. And then you're starting over with personnel, you're starting over with coaches, you're starting over with all those relationships. I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I mean, you look at Josh, and he has had a brilliant career being a backup. So he is, you know, that's his mindset, that if you need me, I'm here. But otherwise, you know, and really that's not the mindset that you had and not the one that I think you would have ever kind of segued into and been comfortable in.
No, yeah, like I have no interest in going there and you know,
not playing.
Saying like helping. Yeah, exactly. Like I mean, helping a young kid out and stuff like that. Like that's, I'm not going to show up to work and the time commitment and be away from my family for something like that. It's just I've never done it and I have no interest to do it.
Jay Cutler joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I love it how honest Jay has always been. All right, so. Do you believe the Brady stuff then? Like, so he Instagrammed yesterday. What was that noise you just made?
I was talking to one of my buddies after that game. And I just find it so hard to believe that after, you know, 20 years of you know, brilliant career and success he's had and the continuity that he's going to jump ship and go somewhere else.
Yeah. So you think it'd be too hard at this point that because Waddle and I both agree that we think he's going to go back to New England, but a lot of these newsmakers think that he wants to stick it to Belichick or at least prove that he can still win without Belichick.
I don't think it's too hard to do, and I think he can definitely do it. I think he's got the support staff and people around him that he'll take with him that he'll have no problem doing it. You know, there's a different dude in your headset. Unless he follows Josh somewhere, you know, that's a different thing. You know, the defense, you know, that's going to be different. You're not going to have Bill over there, you know, overseeing stuff. Just a little detail. Like, you have to take over the building at that point.
Right.
You know, because, you know, obviously the leadership and, you know, he does an unbelievable job, I'm sure, in that building. But, you know, Bill also is there to stamp and approve everything that happens from the top down. So, you know, whether you're going to have that type of consistency and whether you're going to have, you know, that authoritative figure making sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that any of us can get inside his head, but I would think at his age, what's most important to him is winning. That's why you're doing it. And who gives him, which team, which situation gives him the best chance to win another ring? And I find it hard to believe that anyone could define anyone other than the Patriots that would be accurate.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And there's just a lot of moving parts whenever you switch organizations like that. And, you know, I think it'd be one of those things that he could probably talk to an Aaron Rodgers, or who's within the same organization but a different coach, and, you know, talk to some of these guys who have done it. I'm sure he can talk to Peyton, and if that's the direction he's going to go, talking to Peyton of how he did it at Denver. I mean, there's models out there of guys doing it. You know, I just don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to put on a different helmet if I was him. That's just me, though.
Yeah, you've gone through it. I mean, went from Denver to Chicago, then you had to come off out of retirement to go to Miami. Like you said, if he had the good support system and everything, if he had to do it and he found a great landing spot with a really good team, whoever that may be, he could. Do you think it's easy to get over a lot of these things?
I mean, I don't know. There's some guys that are just, you know, they get in their rhythm, and they're a product of their environment. And I think Tom's great and lot of regards of what he does and how he does it, and I'm sure that he could do it somewhere else, but there also is that, you know, chance that it might not work how he thinks it's going to work. We just don't know. There's a lot of unknowns. Like, he knows what he has with the Patriots,
right?
At the end of the day, you know, there's just a lot of things that, and like we said, like, nobody knows what's going on in his head. No one knows what his relationship is with Bill. No one knows what his relationship is with all these people there. We have no idea. Like, okay. It's just speculation. So, you know, he might just call, man, tomorrow they might have a contract done and he's a Patriot for the next 4 years. Who knows?
Jay Cutler joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So who are you rooting for? Like, are you rooting for your hometown team in the Titans? Or are you rooting for another team because of a relationship or something?
You know, I kind of go off of Camden because he's really invested at this
point.
So
let me take a guess. He likes Mahomes and the Chiefs.
He loves Patrick Mahomes. He loves the Ravens. I'm starting to learn he's pretty much a front runner at this point in his life. he loves the 49ers. You know, he would always, at the season would go, he'd be like, all right, the Bears are 9-7. Are they going to be in the playoffs? I'm like, I don't know. What about if they're 10-6? I'm like, they got a shot. What if they win 11? I'm like, they're probably in. And the later it went, he's like, they're just not going to make it. I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't think it's in the cards.
So after
that realization came real in his head, like, that's whenever, you know, he was like, all right, who am I rooting for?
How much of the Bears did you guys watch together this year, and how surprised were you that they ended up the season at 8-8?
I don't know. I mean, we watched a lot. We probably watched 90% of the game.
Okay, so I would say put yourself in the analyst chair, and you tell us, having played the position for so many years, why is Mitch struggling the way he is from, you know, obviously from a distance?
I mean, I think we touched on it a little bit. Like, you know, he was hurt a lot. He was in and out. You know, and I think at this age, it's just being out there, and you're still experiencing things, even year three. I mean, he didn't play a lot of college ball either. So, you know, he's still evolving as a quarterback. I think he's still figuring out, you know, what it takes to play in this league. I think, you know, I'm sure Coach Nagy's like still figuring out, like, you know, that he's good at this. He's not good at that. And then whenever, you know, he gets hurt, he's out of the lineup. And then, you know, he comes back in and he's still a little bit banged up. Maybe trying to protect him a little bit. Maybe not. I'm guessing at this point. You know, it just gets difficult. And if there's anything, I think, about playing quarterback, it's being out there and being, you know, out there every day and, you know, playing 16 games, especially early on, and making as many mistakes as you can early on so they don't happen later. But when you're in and out and, you know, each game starts meaning so much, you know, instead of learning things as a natural curve, now you're pressing and you're like, all right, we have to win this game. So, you know, the hell with the learning. Like, we've got to figure out how to win this game. So maybe we don't do, you know, all the things that we should do for, you know, to progress as a quarterback. Let's just figure out how to win the game and we'll move on. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, and obviously hopefully he can stay healthy next year and experience 16 games and they can figure it all out.
From experience, how much is confidence important, and how much, if you don't have it, can it really truly affect how you're performing at that position?
I think it's huge. I think it's really big. I think the confidence of the guys around you, the confidence of the coaches, the confidence of the play caller, I think that's just as important. And I think that, you know, the organization as a whole, Coach Nagy, like everything I've ever read or you know, the body language on the field, like seems like they got us back.
Yeah.
And I think that's just as important, if not more important than, you know, having your own self-confidence. Because I don't think you would have got to this point if you wasn't pretty self-confident. Yeah.
So here's an interesting question that we've asked and a lot of callers ask us as we talk to Jay Cutler, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Since your son loves Mahomes so much, a lot mm-hmm. of people say if he would have ended up here, he still would not have been as good as he is with the Chiefs because he is Andy Reid.
And more weapons.
How we know it's important, but does Mahomes just translate? Like, if the Bears would have drafted him, would Mahomes truly be Mahomes?
I mean, would he be the? Would he have thrown for 50 in the MVP last year? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. You know, I think he does a lot of things after the snap, you know, kind of like Aaron, of moving around and making plays with his arm and his legs. You know, he does. There is a different skill set there in KC. Like, you can't deny that. You got some dudes that are very dangerous. And, I mean, Andy Reid's been doing it a long time with a lot of different dudes. Made a lot of people money, I mean, throughout the league, throughout decades. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. You know, everyone kind of lands in different positions for some reason or other. I think he would be successful. Would he be as successful as he is now? I don't know.
All right, before we let you go, back to the TV show. Season 3 mm-hmm. premieres tonight, and you said, my guess is you were just joking with us that you probably won't watch it, but can you tell our listeners, and I know a ton of them out there are looking forward to the series starting again, what to look for? Can you give us a little insight into what maybe the theme of the season is?
You know, I think we're less about Uncommon James and, like, the store and the people that work there. It's a lot more about Kristen. I had to film a lot more this season than mm-hmm. I've ever filmed before, which wasn't, I mean, hopefully it turns out well, but I wasn't that thrilled about it. Cause, I mean, at the end, we were filming, it seemed like every damn day. Me and Kristen do a lot of fun stuff on it. So, you know, you're going to see us doing a lot of stuff in Nashville, dates. I think we go to Chicago once. So I think it's a lot more personal for her, which, you know, seems to translate well to the people that watch it.
Is there going to be a season 4, or have you not made that determination yet?
I don't think it's been offered.
Would you do it?
You're asking the wrong dude. But I do it.
Would she want to do a season 4?
Yeah, I think season 4. I think she does. I'm speaking for her. You know, after that, I don't know. It just gets to be a lot.
Yeah.
You know, forever. And the kids are getting older, so they're doing more stuff. You know, we're about to have 3 playing soccer this spring, so, you know, we're going to be all over the map. So I don't know. After 4, I have no idea. Yeah.
I can't wait, though.
Fingers crossed that no.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed no. I can't wait. We're going to play more Jay, more better. That means we've got more highlights for the show.
Yeah, I think a lot of our listeners will be excited for to hear that. Anything new before we let you go that you got going on in your world?
No, I think we're going back. We're going to be up in Chicago the 13th or 14th, I think. So I might stop in and see
you
guys.
Please do.
Yeah,
please
for sure.
Do.
People showed up today because they thought you were going to be in studio.
I'll just see what we're doing. We're doing a Q&A at Kristen's Chicago store on Valentine's Day. Me and her.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's been announced yet. I don't even know if I'm supposed to say it, but we'll be there.
That's good. I love it.
So I'll try to stop in and
that's perfect.
Follow you guys for a bit.
That's awesome.
You're the best. Thanks for picking up the phone, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
No problem. See you guys.
There you go. Jay Cutler. It's just every time we talk to him, it just goes back into the rhythm. And he's just, we got chatter?
Boys, cannot confirm it just yet, but it sounds like Jay Cutler may be in the city in February, maybe the 13th or 14th.
So. Breaking Cutler chatter.
Keep an eye out.
14th, him and Kristen.
Also, that's what the chatter was joking, for. Yeah.
You scared me. Don't play with chatter music.
No, the chatter.
It's breaking news. You're breaking news.
My heart dropped, too.
My jeans get tight when I hear that music.
I was thinking of Bears OC, boiling out.
They hired a tight ends coach today.
Yeah, I know.
All right, it's commercial-free Waddle's World coming up next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Found your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. Once again, thank you to Jay Cutler for joining us. And I believe he will, when he comes back to town in February, I think there's a very good chance he'll come in studio with us.
How about that? A Valentine's Day Q&A with them at the store.
Their store over in the West Loop is really cool. It's a really cool place. So
you were there for the premiere party,
yeah,
right?
I took three of my daughters over there, and it was really cool. But back to the sports room. I've got a folder full of filth, too. Okay?
Ooh, I like that. Filth folder.
There are some days Waddle's World is an absolute bore, and I get it. And
no,
I bore
never.
My,
That's not true.
I bore myself with some of the stories.
We can't create the crazy. We have to wait for crazy to happen.
Right, but there are some days when the crazy isn't good enough to really motivate me. Like, I'm just kind of like, here's a story. This is really weird. Okay, haha. But I think I've got a folder full of good stuff today. Don't you think, Adam?
I mean, you're the one.
You cultivate it. Yeah. You're the farmer. You're the Waddle's World farmer.
So we'll try.
If I get too deep into the sports guru, give me the high side.
I don't know if I'm the farmer. What do they call the things that
you fertilize?
That you use? No. What do you use to like till the soil?
You're the fertilizer.
No, the thing you use. What's the tool you use?
Like to spread your seed
to do the soil.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The hoe. I'm the hoe.
You're definitely the
you're
hoe.
Always the hoe. Yeah, this show. You're the hoe of the show.
There it is.
You're the hoe of the show.
And we're
speaking in terms of farming tools only.
Agriculture.
Yeah. Thank you.
What do you get your mind out of the gutter? Of course we are.
The Bears have hired a tight end. His name is Clancy. Is it Baroni or Barone?
Yes.
All I know is his neck is like thicker than Mongo's when he was, playing.
Like,
did you see the picture of him?
The basketball
Doesn't
coach.
Big? Isn't he big?
The basketball coach used to go by Tony Baroni.
Right.
So maybe this is Baroni.
So this is Tony Baroni, or no, it's Clancy Baroni.
Clancy?
Oh,
you
my
got
God. That's a
Clancy.
Football
man. Has he got a big
That's
neck?
A football man.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They've announced the hiring of Clancy. We'll figure it out by the end of Waddle's World. How do you pronounce this? Or maybe not.
Will we?
Anyway, he brings 15 seasons of NFL coaching experience to Chicago. He's been with four different teams. He was either the tight ends or offensive line coach with the Falcons, Chargers, Broncos, and most recently the Vikings.
Can't wait to see what he can do with Adam Shaheen.
Yeah. He may decide to resign after he gets a full look at that.
I think Baroni may have been John Fox's tight ends coach when he was in Denver. Check on that. What years was he?
2009 to 2016.
Well, then there he is.
Yeah, it's Barone, by the way.
It's Barone.
See, yeah.
Blowing a call to Foxy and asking what
reports?
Barone is
I'll
like.
I'll ask him.
What was that?
Say that, Chaff.
Oh, I said, let's get a scouting report on our new tight end coach.
I'll send John a text.
How about we get a tight end first, though?
And then we'll get a...
Yeah.
The Cavaliers, I guess John Beilein, their coach, makes an emotional apology. I guess there was a controversy about a thug's comment. According to Woj, Beilein made the apology to his players Thursday morning, insisting he regrets referring to the team as a bunch of thugs in a Wednesday film session, league sources told Woj. Sources said Beilein also met with general manager Kobe Altman, who talked individually with players to get a sense of how accepting they were of the apology. Beilein had told Woj on Wednesday that he intended to use the word slugs to indicate the player's slow-moving performance. So,
do you buy that
I
excuse?
I have no idea. I don't know. I have not. For me, it'd be dangerous to say what I...
The way it was reported as well, in a film session, he said, "You're no longer playing like thugs." And he meant to say, "You're no longer playing like slugs." So he's trying to give a compliment.
Well,
I'm just telling you what this is his defense.
Listen, I'm sitting in a chair here on State Street in Chicago. How the hell do I know how it was intended?
We don't. By the way, the Jimmy Butler stuff, we have not talked about that because we were all the Bulls thing early. The Jimmy Butler stuff with his little
just another day
head.
In the life of Jimmy Butler, isn't
blowing
it?
Blowing kisses.
Isn't this kind of...
Oh, that's who Jimmy is today. Yes, absolutely. He gave you a peek of what... I saw someone else tweet this. That's probably a peek of the way he operates behind closed doors. You know, like at those practices with the T-Wolves, maybe as he was dressing on his own here at the United Center and not in his locker. Do we have that soundbite? Can we play that, Meller?
Do you want his sound or do you want you want the play-by-play first?
Give me the sound. So the guy who was guarding got kicked out.
E.J. Warren.
Yes. On
the Pacers.
Indy. Yes. So this is Jimmy afterwards.
I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's some that you just don't say as a man. And, I mean, he got to see me the next time because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful. And it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So, you know, he talking about, oh, we're going to fight this, that.
And
it is what it is to me.
The kiss.
He's soft. He's not even in my league, like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. He's like, no, put somebody else on me because I'm a tad up every time we play.
How about
Jimmy?
Why are you blowing kisses at him if he doesn't? Jimmy was 5 of 6 from the field last night for 14 points, so he shot a very high percentage.
And they did not play the fourth quarter yesterday.
No, the Heat. How about the Heat? 27-10. How about the Pacers? 23-15 without Oladipo.
How'd they do that? Oh, we're so banged up. I don't know.
They're going to do that. Ravens running back Mark Ingram is expected to play against the Titans. He's been dealing with a calf injury. LeBron James takes over the top spot in the All-Star voting. James passed Luka Doncic and Giannis to hold the most All-Star votes with more than 3.3 million. Fan voting accounts for 50% of the vote for All-Star Game starters, which will be announced January 23rd.
Did you see that Kyrie is still the second highest voted guard in the East, despite not playing?
I've not followed the All-Star voting in the NBA, and quite frankly, I will revisit this topic quickly and tell you, I have not watched nearly as much NBA action.
Do you know why, though?
I don't. I
you
think
can't put
like
your finger on
I don't,
it.
Because you know how big an NBA fan I am and have been for years. I truly believe that the Bulls' lack of progress and oomph has taken a little bit of the toll on me. I'm just saying.
But wouldn't that wet your whistle for maybe more national because the local game is so bad?
I think not having the Warriors has affected me. Because listen, I'm a peripheral fan. As much as I'm a diehard fan, I'm a peripheral fan. I'm not, in the box scores of the Cavs game against the Pistons. That's just not what I'm doing.
No, I think it's the 1-2 punch. The Warriors are no longer destination TV. And a lot of the superstars have migrated to the West.
Yeah.
And look, we
play late at night.
Yeah, we'll watch West Coast basketball on occasion, but in the middle...
What are you laughing at, Abdallah?
In December, in January...
Listen, the football season is still here. We're in the playoffs.
It's exactly it. Like you would watch... You'd go out of your way to watch LeBron in an East Coast showdown.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like last year with Kawhi and the Raptors were interesting. Now it's Giannis, and what else in the East is really interesting? The Sixers, maybe?
You know I love me some Oladipo, so when he comes back from injury, I'll be
injured.
Watching the Pacers. Listen, I'm just saying to you that... I am less inclined to watch the NBA right now than I have been in years, but I know that my appetite will increase when the football season has come and gone, and then I will be more invested in the NBA. But I'm a little surprised at how, I usually get a jolt to watch the games. Like, tonight I got Boston and Philly. My wife's out of town. I mean, what am I... I may watch some Boston
There's no
and Philly.
More Thursday night football.
So Houston and Oklahoma City.
The Hawks are on. You could watch them.
Who?
The Blackhawks.
The Atlanta Hawks?
The Blackhawks who keep giving us a roller coaster
ride. I say this, but the Hawks are always on one of my TVs, okay? I don't know a damn thing about most of what's going on, but I will say this to you. I have dedicated a TV to the Hawks.
Yes, I know.
And I will send a snide text to Pat Boyle in our chain every now and again to make sure he knows that Mr. Dangles is watching. Mr. Dangles just has not kept as close an eye on it as normal.
What is the status of a Pat Boyle? Is he probable for tonight? Because he missed the last game because he was so sick.
He's usually listening, so I'm sure he'll text us an update.
He had an upper body injury last game.
Yes, right.
So.
They would not tell you what it was.
He had an upper respiratory problem, I think.
That's too specific for a hockey coach.
Oh, am I fired?
Your upper body.
Yeah.
That's the way you do it, Waddle.
Okay. Kyrie, like you said, hasn't played, but he has set a goal to return within a week. That's his goal. I don't know what his expectation is, but his goal is he's going to be back in a week.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah.
It's a good goal. Did I give you the Adam Thielen news from yesterday? He hurt his ankle in practice. He needed stitches from yesterday.
How did that happen? Why
I don't know. I don't. That's a really interesting thing. Maybe he was running a route, tripped over something in like one of the blocking dummies he stepped on, or I don't know.
Would that like could someone spike him or something like that?
I don't think so. No? I don't think a spiking would create a situation where you needed stitches, but he's only officially listed as questionable. He'll play. Like I told you the story about when Harbaugh gunned one at me, right? From like 15 feet away.
I don't think you've ever told this story.
When that finger right there, like we were in practice, it was in the summertime, but we'd returned from Platteville and we were at Hollis Hall in Lake Forest. And we're warming up, and Jimbo's throwing, you know, darts.
Was he goofing around, or
no,
was he just being
No,
him?
Man, it was just like, it was like a 1,000 miles. I think it was Jim. Maybe it was Will Fuhr. One of the guys did, and this finger, you could see, like, the sewing stitch marks.
Yes.
Threw me a pass, and my finger went boom. Oof. And I had, like, a compound not a bad, like, compound. It wasn't really a compound dislocation because the bone wasn't sticking out, but it splitted so bad you could see the tendons and everything. So they had to take me to the hospital, the Lake Forest Hospital, to sew my finger up. I told you the story.
Is
so
this
I'm there.
When Brian McCaskey left you there?
Yes. So Brian takes me to the hospital to get my finger sewn up so I could come back to practice. So I go there because, you know, back then the doctors weren't on site for practice every day. So, like, my finger, you can see the tendons in my finger. So they're like, okay, you got to get this thing fixed. So I get in the car. Brian McCaskey, I think at the time, who was a trainer, took me up there, dropped me off and said, hey, just give us a holler. We'll come pick you up. They sewed up my finger. I'm standing. I've got my I've got my cleats on. We were just in, like, shorts and uppers, which is what we called it, shoulder pads. So my shoulder pads were off, but I had my practice jersey on. My mullet was glorious, but I was standing outside Lake Forest's emergency room after they'd sewn up my finger, waiting for somebody from the Bears to pick me up. Nobody was there.
And this isn't the days, obviously, of Uber.
I wasn't one of the practice squad guys that I was before. I was a starter at this point. And I'm standing out there just waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, I believe one of the guys who was a medical supplies salesman who knew Brian drove by and said, hey, aren't you Tom Waddle? I said, yeah. What was the clue? The 87 practice jersey. He goes, I'm a friend of Brian McCaskey's. He goes, what are you waiting here for? I said, well, I had to have my finger sewn up, and they were supposed to pick me up and take me back to practice. He drove me back to Hollis Hall.
Unbelievable.
Back in the early 90s.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
Pretty funny. Anyway, long story short, I practiced that day. Later in the day, just taped it up a little bit. What else? Nothing really. Oh, I guess Harry Kane needs hamstring surgery. Meller.
Ooh,
yeah, he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah,
not good for Tottenham.
Man, when you need a Harry Kane in surgery, that's not good for Tottenham.
It's not an excited Harry Kane.
No. All right, here we go. Man reports coyote bite on his buttocks. On the Gold Coast sidewalk, a second attack within a day. I think we actually have a report from earlier today, don't we, Meller?
Do you want the full report or just the key sound?
Well, I'll leave it up to you. You're sound guy.
Full report.
All right, this is courtesy of WGN.
In the 2 o'clock hour this morning, after we learned about one of the latest victims being bitten, you can hear our photographer shooing that coyote in the background. He was here on Huron near Fairbanks in the Gold Coast when he spotted that coyote walking in the middle of the street. Now, our photographer says that coyote appears to be aggressive and possibly dealing with a leg injury. About 2 hours prior, a 32-year-old man walked into Northwestern's hospital saying he had been bitten by a coyote in the rear. Now, that's the whole reason our photographer was out here, to shoot that area where this 32-year-old man had been been bitten. That was in the 700 block of North Fairbanks Wednesday night. The man is said to be in good condition, expected to be treated and released. Now, prior to that, on Wednesday afternoon around 4, police tell us a 5-year-old was in the 2400 block of North Cannon at the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum, and that's when he was attacked by a coyote. That child bitten multiple times in the head. An adult with the child rushed him on a nearby CTA bus until help arrived. The boy taken to Lurie Children's Hospital, where he was last listed in stable condition. So, just so you know, these sightings started Monday when a WGN photographer captured a coyote strutting around the Gold Coast near Lakeshore Drive. That same day, emergency responders rescued a coyote from a frigid Lake Michigan at Monroe Harbor.
This is
now,
big.
I was going to take it the comedic route about the coyotes are on the north or up in that area, and back where Gian Greco lives, you can only see
cougars.
But I didn't realize that the kid got
Listen to this, Waddle. Lincoln Park High School today supposedly had a
lockdown.
Well, not a lockdown, but they were not allowed off campus or out of the building because of these coyotes that have been roaming. I don't know if this is true. I follow CWB Chicago. It's like the Chicago scanner stuff. And it said,
hey, I think Abdallah works for that group, don't you?
For the north side.
Don't you?
And it says,
well, we got up on the north
side. Here's the dispatch, what it said, Abdallah. Then you could give us like it really happened. So the dispatch said coyotes were inside the Sprint store at Halsted and Jackson.
They're just trying to get a deal on a new phone. What do you, I mean?
I'm partial to Verizon.
We got a coyote here in the Verizon stores. I'm happy with the service.
What?
Do I hear you correct, Mr. Dispatcher? Is there really a coyote in the cell phone store?
He's unhappy with his roaming charges currently on his cell phone plan. Turning in a family plan.
A 32-year-old man walked into Northwestern's hospital saying he had been bitten by a coyote in the rear.
Did you get bit in the rear, sir?
But wouldn't you want to get bit in the rear out of
Excuse
all
me?
Places?
Of all, no, you're right. Of all the places
I'm telling
to get, yeah.
You.
Yeah, you want
it's
that butt meat.
There.
Yeah, you want,
you know,
the butt meat.
You don't want in the front.
It's like when you get shot. Know? Yeah, if you want to get shot, you want to get shot in the butt.
I don't think you want to get shot at anywhere.
No, you don't want to, but if you
but
have
you got to pick a spot where you're picking on the body.
The
where?
Butt.
So the coyotes have taken over the downtown area. I see them from time to time in the burbs.
Yeah, and they have they've lost all of their like fear, or not all of it, a lot of their fear of humans,
which is scary.
Yeah, especially when they're roaming inside your phone store.
By the way, shout out to John Laboda. I went to college with him. He was the photographer who captured that video.
A 32-year-old man walked into Northwestern's hospital saying he had been bitten by a coyote in the rear.
Does he have any pictures of anyone getting bitten in the ass at Southern?
He was the guy out right there, probably during Halloween, for sure. 100%.
He had a full photo album of people bitten in the ass.
That was in a weekend on the strip.
Oh, boy. So anyway, you know what? If you and by all means, don't think these things are friendly, okay? I'm not the late Steve Irwin when it comes to my animal knowledge. I'm not Marlon Perkins. I'm just going to throw this out there, though. If you see a coyote roaming in the street, don't try to pet it.
What do you do? Do you run? Are you not supposed to
call
run?
Call somebody. Call 911.
But are you supposed to freeze? Are you supposed to run?
It's not like a bear. Do you make a lot? I mean, maybe you probably make some noise. Like when it gets to be coyote season up where I live, and by that I mean, I don't know. I think it's when it gets colder.
You in Arizona these days?
No.
Coyote
but
season?
When I walk my dog, I'm okay because I'm a man. But like when my daughters walk the dog, I make sure that they take something that they could hit a coyote with if they went after my prized dog.
So that we can educate our listeners, and because you may want to be on the lookout for a coyote now. The things to do, four ways to survive a coyote attack. First,
put a slug in it.
Back away slowly and carefully from the coyote.
See, okay, slow.
Never run away from a coyote.
Okay, this is good info.
Throw sticks or clumps of dirt if the coyote becomes aggressive.
I've got time to get to the ground and start balling up dirt.
And continue to be loud and bold.
Okay, loud,
that's two
but
to six.
Don't
that's
run.
That's the show.
There you go. Bold. Stream us on your phone, on the TuneIn app, and
Time for a new set of eyes with the Bulls.
Start throwing clumps of dirt at the
Coyote. You know what? You're going to get bit right in the junk
so
if you do that.
So do not stare deeply into its eyes and become one with the Coyotes. Yeah. And become their leader and try to form an army of Coyotes that you can then summon whenever you need to with a simple howl.
Too cheap to pay for a trailer, a man strapped a snowmobile to the top of his Chevy Malibu and drove through Wisconsin. Look at this picture. The dude,
you
want to
talk about snow luggage?
The dude has a snowmobile strapped on top of his Chevy Malibu, which is a small, compact car.
Right.
I only burned $10 more in gas on a 430-mile trip, said Tommy Meacher, an electrician apprentice from Chicago. He wanted to go snowmobiling. He didn't have a way to get his snowmobile hauled up north, so he just put it on top of his Chevy.
There you go.
His Chevy.
Look, he came up with a good solution.
Fort Pierce, Florida, a woman told police she had a medical marijuana card, but that evidently didn't keep her out of trouble when investigators reported a medical marijuana container held crack cocaine, according to arrest.
Ooh, that's not medically approved. No. Yeah.
I got a card for this.
Yes. I've got a crack pipe
police
card.
Police said the vehicle smelled of spliff, also known as weed, ganja, pot, and a zillion other terms. The woman said she had a medical marijuana card and pot in the vehicle. She also had crack. A man accused of dousing a woman with ranch dressing during a dispute in a restaurant in Racine, Wisconsin.
Ranch dressing.
53-year-old Racine man is accused of threatening a woman and dousing her in ranch dressing during a dispute. Investigators say during the altercation, man with the name Thomas, I don't know if it's first or last, grabbed a bottle of ranch dressing from the table, began chasing the victim around, squirting the ranch dressing at her before throwing the entire bottle in her direction. Listen, you could get me off of my game in a fight like that if you were doing the same with mayonnaise. If you were, like, chucking mayonnaise at me.
Oh, that scares you.
I would run and go the other direction. I would absolutely concede that the fight was over. You win.
So with a coyote, you walk away slowly, but from a mayo attack, you turn around and run.
Yes. Yeah, no doubts. A woman, 24 years of age in Tennessee, ends up in handcuffs over.
Handcuffs over a fight at a McDonald's over condiments.
Meller?
I was going to say the thing, being squirted with ranch.
Woman 24 ends up in cuffs over rough sex.
What?
Tennessee woman is facing a domestic assault charge after her boyfriend told police that she bit and scratched him during some intimate activities.
Did they have a safe word?
Doesn't sound like it.
That's not safe.
Boy, you're taking some heat, too, for the pictures, aren't you?
Whatever.
Is it still getting, is
come
it getting
the king.
Rough there? Come at the king. Are you the king?
Best not miss.
Yeah. I guess.
Dishes are start.
what else do I have? Man accused of doubt. No, I gave you that one. How about diner charges a customer for a stupid question?
What's the going rate for a stupid question?
You may have heard there's no such thing as a stupid question, Jeff. Well, not at Tom's Diner.
All right, Tom, what are you doing at your diner?
In fact, it's going to cost you. The beloved diner in Denver, Colorado. So I guess Tom's Diner is a very, very well-regarded diner.
Doesn't sound like beloved, though, if they're fining people over stupid questions.
Has recently gained some attention online after a customer uploaded a photo of their receipt to Reddit. Which I believe is a site that Abdallah likes to peruse.
It's like a message board, right? Reddit?
Yeah. Yes.
Q&A and stuff?
I never go on Reddit.
At first, the tab reads normally, one side of mashed potatoes, $2.99, one chicken tenders basket, $9. But the last item is what people are talking and laughing about. One stupid question, 38 cents.
38 cents is the going rate. What was the question? I wanted to hear this.
Perhaps surprisingly, Reddit users who saw the photo, which was posted most recently in a subreddit called Me in Real Life. I don't know what you people do all the time. It said, weren't out really outraged at all. If I got paid to listen to people's stupid questions, I'd probably be a billionaire, one person commented. They charge you 38 cents. Blank. If I charged for every stupid question I was asked, I'd be blank and rich. I'm trying to get to the point where it asks. The person who shared the photo did not disclose what stupid question specifically
was
asked.
Well, that's the best part.
But the diner customer was charged 38 cents for a stupid question.
Not as good of a story if we don't know what the question is.
Well, it's a restaurant. Yeah. If I'm at a restaurant and I've been with people that do this, I try to peruse the entire menu. So when someone goes like, what sides do you have? or what kind of cheese do you guys have? It's right there. It's on the menu for a reason.
And by the way, Leo helped a drowning guy in St. Bart's.
Leo DiCaprio?
Yeah, helped a man, helped give a drowning man the deep sea rescue. He never got playing Jack Dawson in Titanic. He was vacationing aboard a yacht in the Caribbean over the holidays, as he's so apt to do.
And then he stole his girlfriend.
I believe somebody was in trouble, and he helped out. So good for Leo.
Very good for Leo. All right, Barstool Big Cat joins us for Can't Miss Radio next.